Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's epistle letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter, which you heard read earlier. It's not going to come as any surprise when I say that we are living in divided times. We are divided over politics, religion, and a host of many other topics. And during this past year, our division has even become more apparent. Pro-mask, anti-mask. Pro-vax, anti-vax. Republican, Democrat. Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. All lives matter. Well, except all lives, except for those of the unborn. We're even divided over the countless alleged genders and the alphabet soup of sexual preferences, even though God's word is clear on what defines sex. Division drives people apart. It divides husbands from wives and wives from husbands. It divides parents and children, family and friends, brothers and sisters, even dividing brothers and sisters in Christ within the same congregation. In our epistle reading, St. Paul writes of the division between Jew and Gentile. And while the context and division that is going on 2,000 years ago in our text is not the same as the division you face in your context, St. Paul teaches us that for all who are in Christ, the dividing walls of hostility are broken down. There is peace and reconciliation for all in the body of Christ. Now, there has always been division. People have always been separated. And one of the first big separations was done by the hand of God. God made a covenant with Abraham that he would make him a great nation. And through his offspring, all the families on the earth would be blessed. And the sign of the covenant, circumcision. All males 8 days old would be circumcised. It was a visible sign in the flesh, even a wall of division, if you will, of an everlasting covenant with God. And all who refused to receive the sign would be cut off from God's covenant people, cut off from the promise of a Savior given to Eve in the Garden of Eden. God set the Israelites apart. They were to live holy lives before him, and his moral and ceremonial law set them even further apart. You shalt not do this, and you shalt do that. You shall not touch that or eat that, but you shall eat that, and you can touch those clean things over there. But most especially, thou shalt not associate with all those uncircumcised over there. One law for the house of Israel, another for everyone else. The separation demanded by the law was also symbolized in the tabernacle and later on in the temple. It was a thick curtain that hung, separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the holy place. The Holy of Holies is where the Lord God dwelt among his people. And it was only on the Day of Atonement, one day a year, one man separated from all the rest was able to go into the Holy of Holies. And only he could go in after he was purified. And this created more division amongst the people. The curtain separated our most holy God from all the unholy things. And this separation was also symbolized later on with a wall that was built around the temple during the reconstruction following the Babylonian captivity. A stone wall to keep the Gentiles out. There were even signs in Greek and in Latin on the wall that said, warning the Gentiles that they do not enter lest they suffer the pain of death. This time of division remained even after Jesus was born for a while. Like all Jewish boys, Jesus too was circumcised on the eighth day. And when he sent out his 12 disciples, He commanded that they go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But later on, Jesus himself, he said he came to seek and save the lost from every tribe, every language, every people and nation. He didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. You might say Jesus came to preach to both sides of the aisle, circumcised and uncircumcised. He came to knock down the wall of division so all mankind could be united into his one flock. And Jesus did just that. He told the people, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." God in the flesh of man brought an end to the division between Israelite and Gentile, between the circumcised and the uncircumcised, and any other sort of division that you can devise and scheme up in your mind. When Jesus cried out on the cross and took his last breath, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. That wall of the Old Testament law that had stood for some 1,400 years was destroyed. Jesus had made peace, reconciling the entire world to his Father, reconciling all who are in Christ to one another. Last week in the first chapter of Ephesians, I talked much about what it means to be in Christ. And today in the second chapter, Paul goes on with that same theme. You are in Christ. That the fact that you are united to Christ in baptism and adopted into his holy family, part of his holy Christian church, you have been granted the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. All who are baptized into Christ's death are reborn, made new, and restored to the image of God. And it doesn't matter whether you are Jew or Gentile, Democrat, Republican, or some other political denomination, red, yellow, black, or white, Jesus gave his life for all, every human being. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And it's not a work of your own doing, it's the gift of God. He makes no distinction. It doesn't matter which tribe, which language, which tongue and nation you come from. Paul writes, there is no distinction, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Jesus has completed his work of salvation on the cross, and God has bestowed upon you and all who are in Christ all that Christ has won on the cross. St. Paul writes in our text, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. For all who are in Christ, you have been brought near. You've been brought near to God and near to one another through Jesus' shed blood. Christ himself is your peace, and he has made peace between you and God, reconciliation of peace with the Father, and peace between all who are in Christ, Democrat and Republican, regardless of color, tongue, nation, and language, all accomplished through Christ's death and resurrection. You were once far off, but you have been brought near to God and given his riches at Christ's expense." The expense of Jesus' precious blood shed on Calvary's cross. He is your peace, and because you have that, you now have peace with the Father and peace with one another, all because of what Christ has done. But still, you look in the world and see all this division and say, "Pastor, you're talking about peace and reconciliation. What about all this division?" You know, the division between the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians, that's one thing, but why are we divided within the Christian church? How can there be peace and reconciliation? Well, the Christians are divided because of our sinfulness. Each one of us wants to be God. Each one of us wants to be in charge and make the rules. We want our own belief system. You want to cut out the parts of the Bible that you disagree with and then pencil in all the things that you think God got wrong, and this is how it would be better. It's exactly why there are so many denominations in the world today. If you would take two denominations who decided they're going to become one denomination, well, the two get together and they don't become one, they become three. Because one is going to say, well, I don't agree with these and these. I'm going to go down the street and start my own denomination. And that's kind of how things have run since the time of Christ, causing division in the body. And unity cannot be achieved by everyone running off in their own direction, but only drawing closer to God, closer to Him and His Word, testing the Scriptures against the Scripture, so that we confess the same scriptural truth. God's Word is the only rule and norm according to which all teachings should be evaluated and judged. Jesus' word is truth, and apart from Him, you and I are separated from God, separated from one another. But in Christ, we have been reconciled to God. And if we're reconciled to God, how can we remain divided from one another? The answer to our division is the same answer we heard last week: in Christ. Your union with Christ is your union with your fellow believers. It's in Christ. It's not in you. It's all in Christ. Because when it's left up to you and me, we go down the street and start another denomination. We cause division. We start building up walls. So, dear Christian, repent of your sin. Repent of creating division. Repent of building walls. And receive the blood-bought forgiveness that Christ has won for you on Calvary's cross. Allow the Holy Spirit to create a clean heart within you so that you turn from your sin. In baptism, you died to sin. How can you and I live in that sin any longer? In Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. In Christ, it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And all this is not your work. It's all a work of God. In our text, it's not that in Christ the Gentiles have immigrated and assimilated into the Israelite nation. No, Paul says that Christ died that He might create in Himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace. Christ died that He might reconcile us to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. It's not that the Gentiles alone needed reconciliation, but Jew and Gentile, you and me, and all mankind are in need of reconciliation. Paul continues that Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him you have access in one Spirit to the Father. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So if you're going to go out and build a wall, build on the foundation of Christ and Him crucified. You were once far off, but now in Christ you are near. You have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. And in baptism you were clothed with His righteousness. And made part of his one holy body, his holy temple, where he dwells with you, where two or more are gathered in his name, bestowing upon you life, forgiveness, and salvation, all in his word and sacrament, bought and paid for by Jesus' holy, innocent blood and his precious suffering and death. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.